There is a word from the Lord on today, and it shall come forth from the 24th chapter of Jeremiah, which will be our foundational scripture. It reads as follows, according to the New American Standard Version. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the officials of Judah, with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. The Lord showed me, behold, two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. One basket had very good figs, like first ripe figs, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten due to rottenness. Then the Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad figs, very bad, which cannot be eaten due to rottenness. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, like these good figs, so I will regard as good the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them up and not overthrow them, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me. For I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. But like the bad figs which cannot be eaten due to rottenness, indeed, thus says the Lord, so I will abandon Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his officials, and the remnant of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and the ones who dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will make them a terror and an evil for all the kingdoms of the earth, as a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall scatter them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence upon them until they are destroyed from the land which I gave to them and their forefathers. If it be God's will, we're going to continue with our theme and thesis entitled, When Bad Looks Good. Yeah, when bad looks good. We said here in this particular series, as we focus on part 2B today, that bad looks good when the bad that we see as Christians, as believers, as the people of God is instructed according to the word of God. We see here Jeremiah the prophet preaching to the people of God, prophesying to the people of God the will of God. The reason why he instructed them that they would have to be taken from the land is because they had sinned in the land. And as a result of that, we extracted a biblical principle, really two facets of that principle, and that is this. God always takes blessed people and he puts them in a blessed place and he pours out his blessings upon them. God took Adam and Eve, of course, along with him once he had brought Eve forth from Adam's side. And they were placed in the Garden of Eden. But when they sinned, they had to be removed, because Adam and Eve were blessed people in a blessed place, and God was pouring out his blessings upon them. But when sin entered in, even though they were a blessed people, they had to be taken out of the blessed place. So God takes blessed people and he puts them in a blessed place and pours out his blessings upon them. As long as that blessed people honors God, before in the day that they do not honor God as God and obey him and trust him, as a result of that, they will be separated from the blessed place and the blessings that God has ordained. Or otherwise, the blessing that they had will become a curse to them. And that's what we see God instructing Jeremiah, speaking to Jeremiah, revealing to him this prophetic word, that the ones who remain, who seem to be doing what is right is in effect doing what's wrong. The ones who are leaving, who seems to be doing the wrong things, doing what is bad, is in effect good to God. God identified Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the officials of Judah, and the craftsmen and smiths in the first verse here. He identified those people as good. So the only way that we can see bad as good is we see things the way that God sees them and not the way that man sees them. For in the eyes of man, man would have seen the fact that these people who were in effect surrendering themselves to a foreign nation and a foreign power, that's a bad thing. That's a treasonous thing. That's somebody who's a traitor, somebody who's a quitter, somebody who lays down and allows themselves to be trampled upon. But because they were operating on the word of God, what looked bad in the eyesight of man looked good to God. We also see that those who did not honor the word of God, who did not obey the word of God, who did not heed the prophecy of the prophet, who would not listen to Jeremiah, God said that those people were not only bad figs, He said that they were rotten and could not be consumed. In other words, God would not allow them in any way, to shape, form, or fashion to become a part of him because they had rebelled, not only disobeyed, but that they had rebelled against the word of God. And as a result of that, God said that he would make them a terror and an evil for all kingdoms in the earth, according to verse 9 of this 24th chapter, a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, and all places where he said he would scatter them. Because even though in the eyes of man it looked like they were doing the good thing, they were resisting an evil or a foreign power overtaking them. In any person's mind, to stand for one's sovereignty is a right thing to do. To fight for one's sovereignty is a good thing. But it was a bad thing. It was a rotten thing because they were resisting God. Now, had they done what the Lord told them to do in the first place, God would have had no need to have to remove them. But because they were there worshiping the same God, somebody better walk with me now. God had told them through Moses. He said, listen, when they go into the land, let them know that as long, according to Deuteronomy 28, as long as they obey me, all of these blessings will come upon them. But if they disobey me, all of these curses shall come upon them. God let them know that that living in the land of his blessing, of his prosperity, of his promises is a privilege and not a right. Living in the land of the blessings. See, here in America, we got this thing all twisted. We go around, we got the right to do this, got the right to this, got to... Listen... There is no humankind before God who has any rights. To breathe is a privilege. To exist is a privilege. To serve God is an honor and a blessing. We don't have the right to do anything before God other than what he says. Nevertheless, these people were looking at things one way. God was looking at it another way. So as Christians, I stand before you today and I state our theme and thesis that there are times that bad looks good. We said in part one that bad looks good when life is lived through the lens of God's word. Amen. Praise God. And when we got to part two, we said that bad looks good when life is lived in reverence to God and not fear of man. The 38th chapter of this same prophecy according to Jeremiah reveals to us this very premise that we have obtained for part two of this series. For Jeremiah had a conversation with Zedekiah in verses 17 through 23. And Zedekiah told him that he would have obeyed God, but he was afraid of man. Somebody better hear me today. He would have done what God told him to do and what the prophet instructed him that God said, but he told him in verse 19, these are the king's words. You don't have to take my word for it. It said here in verse 19 of this 38th chapter, it says, then King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, I dread the Jews who have gone over to the Chaldeans, lest they give me over into their hand and they abuse me. But Jeremiah said, they will not give you over. Please obey the Lord in what I am saying to you, that it may go well with you and you may live. But if you keep refusing to go out, he said, this is the word which the Lord has shown. Then behold, all of the women who have been left in the palace of the king of Judah are going to be brought out to the officers of the king of Babylon, and those women will say, your close friends have misled and overpowered you. While your feet were sunk in the mire, they turned back. Let me stop right there. Good God Almighty. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. This man, King Zedekiah, was so busy being afraid of man, that he failed to reverence God. Isaiah reveals it this way in the 8th chapter, that the thing that a person fears has become their God. The thing that a person has the greatest fear of has become their God. The one who we should reverence, the one who we should fear as human beings, as humankind, is God and God alone. Matthew 10 and 38 says, do not fear the one who can destroy the body, but fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's the one who we should fear. But Zedekiah was fearing what man might do to him. God wants us to understand that he and he alone is God. He and he alone is to be revered. He and he alone is to be feared. It does not mean that we may not face circumstances or situations or crisis or dilemmas that can be frightening to us. But it is our responsibility to manage that fear with faith in God. Amen. To allow ourselves to go beyond those circumstances, those situations, that crisis, that dilemma, whatever it may be, in order to honor God and to obey, trust and obey his word and him alone. That's what gives reverence to God. Amen. But because this man would not honor God by reverencing God and he feared man, the thing that he feared was the very thing that awaited him. He was afraid for his life, and his life is the thing that he lost. But that's in part three, praise God. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But the bottom line is that we have a responsibility as Christians and as believers to reverence God and not fear man, because bad looks good when we've got a greater fear of God than we do of man and circumstance. Amen somebody? Amen. There's something else I'm going to throw in, and I want to put a pin here for just a moment. Amen. Notice what the prophet Jeremiah told him in this 21st and 22nd verse of this 38th chapter of Jeremiah. He said, if you keep refusing to go out, Well, matter of fact, let me back up a little further. Jeremiah even pleaded with him in verse 20. There are times when the preacher, when the prophet, when the man of God, the woman of God, when folks are pleading with people, please do what's right. Please let the Lord bless you. Please trust God. Please obey God. Please do what God is saying and stop worrying about what men think. He pleaded with him. He said, please obey the Lord in what I am saying to you, that it may go well with you and you may live. Amen. You know, one thing that Pastor Giles and I have experienced as we have served the Lord faithfully and counseled many people and sought to minister to people and prophetically speak into their lives, one of the things, according to Scripture that is, and the Spirit of God, one of the things that we've had to come to realize is that you can't want something for someone. You can't want something you can't anymore. How can I say this? Let me, Lord help me with my wording here. You can't want something for someone more than they want it for themselves. You understand what I'm saying? Because if they don't want it for themselves, a person just straining themselves for no reason. For no cause. Because if they do not want it for themselves, I don't care if it's their education, if it's a better life for themselves, a right standing with God, if it's a marriage or a blessed family, or a blessed finance, if they do not want it for themselves, then it ain't gonna matter. But it is our responsibility to share the word of God with them, to teach them, to train them, to equip them, to ready them to receive all that God has, to encourage them in righteousness, to build them up in the things of God and in the likeness of Christ. That's our responsibility. Okay? But if the person does not want it for themselves, then there's not another person who can do it for them. Yeah. But Jeremiah did his part. He pleaded with him. And he told him, he said in verse 21, but if you keep refusing to go out, he said, this is the word that's going to happen to you. And those women told him, he said, these women are going to say to you, your friends have misled and overpowered you. While your feet were sunk in the mire, they turned back. In other words, they put him out there on a limb and started sawing. Amen, somebody. See, when a person trusts in man, instead of putting their trust in God, see, because for a person to fear God, to reverence and fear God, is to put their trust in God. But for a person to fear man is to put their trust in man. And it's going out on a limb with the same people that he was trying to impressed, when he was trying to look good in front of, was the same ones who saw him stuck in the mire and turned back. Good God Almighty. Because he was fearing man and not God and putting his trust in man and not God. God wants us to know that bad looks good when we fear him, when we reverence and fear him and not man. Praises be to God. Let's transition just for a moment to Numbers, the 13th chapter, because God gives us some lessons, if you will, concerning properly placing our fears in him and not concerning man and circumstances. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, God had instructed Moses to tell to pick out from among the children of Israel 12 spies to go out and seek the land. Here they are. They had, somebody gonna walk with me here.
They had journeyed through the toughest part of their journey. They had been delivered from Egypt miraculously and powerfully. They had God had parted the Red Sea for them. They walked through on dry land. They had gone through the wilderness and was literally in the end zone. Good God Almighty. Somebody better walk with me today. And all they had to do was hold on to the ball. You know, one of the worst things that a person can do is go through 99 yards of pure D struggle and warfare and get to the end zone and poop, cough up the ball, fumble the football. After all of that labor and after all of that toil to get through all of that struggle, well, that's exactly what Israel did. They had gone through all of that deliverance from Egypt, had gone through the Red Sea, had gone through the wilderness, and here they were at the Promised Land. And all God told Moses, go send one from every tribe, get leaders from every tribe, and tell them to go and spy out the land. They went and spied out the land. But there's something happened along the way. They spied it out and they saw, okay, yeah, here's all the, look at these. They saw some clusters of grapes. It was grape season. The clusters were right there. I mean, they cut one of them. And the scripture described that they had the one cluster, just one cluster of grapes was so huge that men had to put it on a pole. And a man on each end had to carry it. It was that big and that heavy. That's what kind of blessing that God had brought them into. But they didn't see that. What they saw, and they came back with an evil report in this 13th chapter, what they saw was, okay, there's giants in the land. And these people are huge, and they're the sons of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers. In our own sight and in their sight is what they came back with. And this is a land that devours its inhabitants. And they told that to Moses, the leadership, and they told it to the congregation. And the people became afraid because of the evil report. Instead of them coming back telling them this is a land flowing with milk and honey, just like God told them, because they had looking through the eyes of God. But no, they were looking at man and fearing man rather than reverencing God and thanking him and giving praise to him for the promises that he had given to them. God told them that he would bring them into the land. But here it is. Let us see how this unfolded. Matter of fact, we'll start at the 25th verse. It says here, it says, when they returned, and this is Numbers 13, from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation and the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, they forget all of that. Forget that God's word is true and blessed forever. Forget that God's promises are being fulfilled. Forget that. They say, nevertheless, that's the small thing. They put the things of God as a small thing, and they made man the big thing, the fact that there was giants in the land, because they were fearing man rather than God. Look at this now. They said, nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, The land through which we have gone is in spying out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. Huh? There also we saw the Nephilim, that is, the sons of Anak, a part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. See, bad looks good when we fear God. Amen, somebody. When we have reverence for God and not fear of man. But to them, huh, good looked bad. Walk with me now. To those who were fearing man, the good that God had for them looked bad. Huh? The ones who were so afraid for their lives, rather than having reverence for God, they were afraid for their lives before man rather than having reverence for God. And as a result of that, they saw what God had for them as a bad thing. Where a person places their fear will ultimately determine their, not only how they perceive and see life, but it will ultimately determine their destiny. It will determine where they are, not only geographically, but where they are spiritually. These people were spiritually turning away from God. They were failing to trust God. They were failing to reverence God, failing to honor God. And as a result of that, they were in a bad place spiritually, which ultimately results in being in a bad place geographically, positioned in the natural realm. Instead of being in a promised land, they ended up back in the wilderness for 40 more years until they died out there. Instead of being in a blessed place, they ended up being in a cursed place because of where they placed their fear. These folk who died in the wilderness and who was given a 40-year lap, somebody better say amen in here. They kept on circling in the wilderness. They were given 40 more years to keep on trudging, to run around in circles instead of going straight ahead into the promises of God and into the land flowing with milk and honey. Why? Because of where they placed their fear. Bad looks good, huh? When we reverence God and do not fear man. And I'm going to tell you something. Walk with me today. If a person is ever going to lay hold of great things and do great things, achieve great things, have great things, be used of God greatly in this life, they're going to have to see some bad stuff and know that it's good stuff. You better hear me today. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. These folk were walking by sight and not by faith. They were walking by what they saw in the natural rather than what God's word was speaking in the spiritual. And as a result of that, good looked bad to them rather than the bad looking good. Yeah, bad looks good. Amen, somebody. Because we're going to face some bad. We're going to face some obstacles. There are going to be some trials and some tribulations. There are going to be times where people are walking away or turning on folk or turning against folk. We're going to face some bad. If we're living for the Lord, we're going to face some bad. Yeah, we're going to face some bad. If we were not going to face bad, it wouldn't take faith to walk this walk. Amen, somebody. It wouldn't take faith to take the journey of living for Christ. Jesus said every one of us has to take up our cross. Huh? We have a cross to bear. Every single one of us. We have a cross to bear. There are going to be some things that look bad. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it looked bad. But he said, nevertheless, you better hear me today. Amen. Nevertheless, to what looked bad in the natural. And he said, yes to God in the spiritual. Amen. He said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's what it takes for every born-again, blood-bought, baptized believer. That's what it takes for every Christian to be able to gain and to lay hold of the things that God has purposed and ordained for us. It takes seeing beyond what we can see. Amen, somebody. And hearing the word of God and believing the word of God and having faith and trust in God, no matter what it looks like. Had these people had a trust relationship, and that brings us back to it's about relationship. Had they had a love and a trust relationship with God, they would have been willing to lose their lives, and instead they would have gained it. But because they didn't have a love and a trust relationship with God, because they were always grumbling and complaining and were not grateful to God, it was no accident, it was no incident, it was no surprise that they took this view and this approach. Matter of fact, they even believe that God put it all together just to destroy them. What an evil view of God. That says that they did not have a right relationship with God. Because if they had knew him, they would have known his love. They would have known his kindness. They would have known his mercy. They would have known his grace. They would have known his goodness. Look at what verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1, how it continues this. The scripture says this: as a result of this evil report, of this frightful report of man rather than reverence toward God, this is what happened. It says, then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. There are some things that God wants us to know about reverence toward him versus fear toward man. Amen. What we do, walk with me now because I'm going to talk with you a while. Amen. What we do, what we see, how we see life, how we view life. If we're viewing life through the word of God and if we're foundationing our lives and making sure that it's premised upon God and reverence toward him and not fear toward man or circumstances. This will affect people's lives. We will bring salvation and deliverance to many others. But the person who does the opposite, who does not reverence God, but who fears man and circumstances, what they might lose, what might happen, what relationship might go away. The one who's living out of fear of man and circumstances and how they look before man rather than how they look before God, they can lead many to destruction. The scripture says, then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. What are you saying, preacher? What are you saying, man of God, apostle? What are you saying? What I'm saying is that each of us not only must be responsible for our life, but we must understand that we're responsible for the life and souls of others through our witness, through our testimony. Because whether a person wants people to look at their life or not, people are watching. And we must let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. There's glory, honor, and praise due to our God. Amen. Based on our reverence of God. Amen. And not fear for man. Amen. Verse 2 of that 14th chapter reveals some other things to us. It says, and all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Stop right there for a moment. they started wishing, listen to me, for their death. Because they were looking, they were doing two things wrong. They were looking, matter of fact, three things. Number one, they were looking through the lens, of the natural realm rather than the lens of the spiritual realm, which can only be seen through the Word of God. That was the first mistake. Number two, they were listening to the wrong voices. And had they had a right relationship with God, they would not have been able to be misled by men. Amen, somebody. And the third thing they did wrong was start attacking God's servants. Amen, somebody. Because, see, to attack God's servant is to attack God. But they started attacking God's servants because they were fearing man and not fearing God. When you see somebody, somebody better walk with me today. When you see somebody, who doesn't have a problem at hurling insults and accusations and all kinds of other things toward the people of God, that's because they lack reverence for God. And more times than not, they are the lack and the deficiency of reverence toward God is filled up with fear toward man. They're so afraid of man and so afraid of circumstances. They're attacking the things of God because they lack reverence for God. Okay? And the thing that they reverence, is man and circumstance. So they're attacking the things of God. Verse 3, let's move quickly. This is what they said. They said, "And why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" Look at here. Stop right there. Something else to learn about fear of man. See, fear of man will not only turn the people on God's leadership, but it'll turn the people against God. Because, see, bad doesn't look good to them. We're going to experience some difficulties. There are going to be some trials and tribulations in this life as believers. And there are going to be some times in our life where things look bad, but we're going to have to keep our trust in the Lord and trudge on ahead, trusting him, believing him, having faith in him to get to the good that God has reserved, because he said in his word that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He wouldn't have said that if there were not going to be times when things, good God Almighty, were looking bad. He wouldn't have said it. We're going to face some ugly situations. We're going to have some trials. But what God promises us is that there's triumphs that await us when we trust him. But the folk who fail to trust God, who fail to reverence God, and who are afraid of man and circumstances will not only turn on God's leadership, will not only turn on the people of God. I've seen times, let me put a pin here where I'm going for a moment. I've seen times when people have turned on their own family members who were trusting God, who were believing God, who were praying and interceding and seeking to lead the people in the things of God. I've seen time folk turn on their own family members for trusting God because they were afraid of circumstance. They were afraid of situation. They were afraid of what might happen to them. And so they didn't care that they were turning on the people of God. They didn't care that they were turning on loved ones who were trusting and in effect turning on God himself, because they were afraid. Fearing man and circumstances, fearing for their lives rather than fearing God. And they said this thing. Yeah, that God, and that wasn't enough to turn on God, but people who are fearing man or turn on God's people and leadership, but they eventually turned on God himself. They accused God of being evil. They accused God. Instead of reserving for them a promised land, they were literally saying that God had reserved a place as a mass grave for them and for their wives and for their children. See, fear causes a person to see life one way, and faith causes them to see another. See, bad looks good when we have reverence for God and not fear of man. But when a person has fear of man instead of reverence for God, good looks bad. Good God Almighty. Yeah, good looks bad. And there's some times in this life where we're going to be faced with some trials and tribulations, some difficulties and some decisions where we're going to have to see beyond what exists in the natural. And we're going to have to start looking through the lens of God's word, good God Almighty. And we're going to have to trust him. Amen. And we're going to have reverence for God. Amen. In order to see the good that he has for us. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, they said, would it not be better, in this end of this third verse of this 14th chapter of the book of Numbers, would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? See, that's another thing that happens when folk are afraid of man and life and circumstances rather than having reverence toward God. They end up headed back into bondage. Oh, you better hear me today. And they go back into bondages and strongholds and back under curses rather than moving forward. Good God Almighty, and being liberated and laying hold of the blessings that God had for them. Amen. See, where a person places their fear ultimately dictates and determines not their circumstance and their situation, their geography spiritually, and naturally. These folk were headed back to bondage. They were headed back to Egypt. Because they were fearing man and not reverencing God. Verse 4 says this. It said, so they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. You better hear me today. See, oh Lord, somebody going to listen here carefully. I got to put a pin here where I'm going so I can give you this biblical truth. See, wherever folk are going, whether they're going toward God and his blessings or whether they're going away from God and toward and into curses, some leadership need to be provided. Amen, somebody. See if a child is trusting God and having reverence for God and honoring God in their life and listening to their parents, instead of worried about what their friends gonna say, saying, oh, you a square, you a pig, you not this here, you can't do this, you can't do that, you just this, and you irrelevant and all this. Listen to me. Sometimes kids are so worried about what other people think, they'll turn on their parents and in effect turn on God. They'll become disobedient and rebellious to their parents and go out and obey the gang member. Or did you hear me? I say go out and obey the gang member.
Yeah.
Gang leader, tell them do this, do that. Yes, ma'am. they'll honor. See, so wherever a person's going, they're going to need some leadership.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, they're going to need some leadership. No matter where they're going, if they're going toward God, somebody's going to need to provide, going to need to blaze the trail. And if they're going away from God, there's somebody going to need to blaze trail. They say, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. See, the person who rejects God's leadership will end up picking Satan's leadership. Somebody better hear me today. The one who rejects the one who God has ordained to lead them into blessing will by forfeiture pick the one who Satan had for them to lead them into curse. Moses and Aaron were so flabbergasted and so floored. You got to understand, these folk had then stood before the presence of God. They knew what God had reserved for these people. They knew God had had blessing purpose. They knew what all God had them to go through in order to get these people to this promised land. And they're sitting here listening to this foolishness, to this wickedness, and to this evil. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. They were completely undone. Pastor Giles and I know a little bit about what that feels. Maybe not for a whole nation of people, but we know a little bit like what that feels like to see people turn and go the exact opposite way when they had already got right to the brink, only to fumble the ball right there in the end zone. For somebody who's a servant leader of God who really cares and who people and their souls and lives really matter to, it grieves them to have to see people turn away from blessing in order to go headlong into curse. In verse 5, the scripture says, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. See, anybody of God who cares, this is a grievous thing. To see people turn away from God and turn away from the blessings of God and go headlong into curse. You better be close. Yes, it hurts. It's an agony to know that people are so close and yet so far away. Verse 7 says here in this 7th verse of this 14th chapter of Numbers, it says, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land. There it is right there. Amen. The problem is laid out in black and white. Scripture reveals the heart of the matter. Amen. They were rebelling against God because they were fearing man. Bad looks good when there's reverence for God and not fear of man. Amen. But the good that God has for a person looks bad when they fear man and fail to reverence God. God wants some folk to stand tall. If you're hearing this word today, God wants you to stand tall. God got some great and mighty things for you, and he's letting you know there are going to be some times where things don't look pretty. Amen. There are going to be some times where it's ugly and where it looks like everything is in ruins. I recall the story of the couple when they started TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. Yeah, Paul and Jan Crouch. Their story is well known, how things were horrible. They had took everything that they had then spent, mortgaged their house, and a mountain stood in their way. They couldn't even get a signal out to the people with the first little station that they had. And they were, and if they didn't get that signal out, everything was going to be lost because they were going to have to pay the mortgage on the studio, and they wouldn't have the money to pay it. They couldn't eat, and nor could they get the message out, and things looked horrible. But 40-something years later, these folk have worldwide satellites beaming all over the world. And the gospel of Christ is being preached. Wow. And they're not dealing with the crisis of a little studio.
Yeah.
And where they were scratching for tens of thousands in order to stay alive. Now they've got billions and they're thriving. Amen. Because they feared God more than they did circumstance. Amen. They feared God more than they did for their lives. Yeah, now they've gone on to be with their Lord, and their children are carrying on their legacy. Good God Almighty. Yeah, verse 9 says, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Again and again, they're being told not to fear man. And the opposite of fearing man is to reverence God.
Amen.
But look what happened in verse 10. It said, but all the congregation said, stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. See, their response was, kill them.
Wow.
Don't listen to them. Don't let them talk. Shout them down.
Yeah.
Huh? Shout them down, strike them down, kill them, stone them, do whatever it takes to silence them. See, folk don't want to hear the truth. Do whatever it takes to shut them up. They didn't want it in their ears. They didn't want to hear about the goodness of God. They didn't want to hear about reverencing God. They were too busy delighting and fearing man. They were too busy embracing the curse in order to open their arms and lay hold of the blessings of God. Scripture say, then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. God brought down his glory and revealed it. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me? See, a failure to fear God is a failure to have faith in God. Amen, somebody. Because see, fear is the opposite of faith. Fearing man and for one's life and for circumstances and situations, that's the opposite of faith.
Amen.
God say, how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? How long will his people spurn me? See, to fear man rather than reverence God is to spurn God, is to push God away. To throw God away, to cast him off. Yeah. Bad looks good. Praises be to God.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
When we reverence God.
Amen.
And not fear man.
Amen.
Last but not least, turn with me to Acts, the 4th chapter. As we quickly hurry to a close. Acts, the 4th chapter, praise God, is premised from this 3rd chapter of the book of Acts. Matter of fact, from even, well, 1st and 2nd chapter, specifically the 2nd chapter. They had just got through, the Holy Spirit had come and landed upon the people like cloven tongues of fire, praise God.
Amen.
And Peter was preaching, thousands were saved, and then he came. Here he was in the 3rd chapter of this book of Acts. There was a beggar at the gate called Beautiful, man who was lame. And Peter and John, the scripture said in verse 1, it said, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the 9th hour, the hour of prayer. Yeah. And there was a man who was there lame who often begged for obviously he had done this for quite some time. Everybody knew him to be a beggar who was at the temple. And so he thought that Peter and John was going to give him something.
Yeah.
He was expecting some money from him.
Yeah.
But instead they gave to him the power of God to get up out of his crippled state and to be made whole and to be healed. Praise God.
Amen.
And so as a result of that, the people in this 3rd chapter were amazed and were just beside themselves that to see this miraculous situation occur. And Peter said, why are you looking at us?
Yeah, yeah.
As if by some power of our own we did this. He told them, this has been done by the power of Jesus Christ, the one who you crucified.
Yeah.
The one who you accepted a murderer for, exchanged for a murderer. He let them know they were crying out, instead of give us Jesus, they were crying out, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Peter reminded them of this.
Come on now.
He said, this is the power, this is the name by which this man has been healed, but yet you act as if you're amazed. And as a result of Peter's preaching, the scripture said that 5,000 men came to a saving knowledge of Christ. Sometimes it has to be a hard word. That was a hard word to let them know that they had murdered the Christ, that they had crucified the Christ. That was a hard word. Those people could have rushed up on them and killed them for speaking and uttering such words, because literally it put the blood of Christ on their hands. But Jesus, but Peter told them, repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we've got to make sure that we do as we preach this gospel. We've got to temper justice with mercy. Yes, we got to let people know that sin is sin, whether they're committing adultery or fornication or homosexuality or lesbianism or theft or robbery or murder. Yeah, we got to tell it like it is. But we also need to let them know that, good God Almighty, the God who we serve so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We've got to let them know that he died, God Almighty, on the cross for our sins.
Hallelujah.
And his blood was shed that we might be redeemed unto the holy God of righteousness. This is the gospel that Peter was preaching. And the scripture said that 5,000, good God Almighty, 5,000 men, that wasn't counting women and children, 5,000 men believed his preaching. Had he been so, had Peter and John been so afraid for their lives, had other apostles, had the disciples of Christ been so afraid for their lives, this gospel that we share, this gospel that we teach, that we preach, that we live, that has saved our soul, that has made us whole, that caused us to walk in healing and in health, in blessing and in prosperity, this gospel would be hidden from us had they been afraid. Had they feared man and not reverenced God. Matter of fact, in this fourth chapter, praise God, Peter and John had been threatened by the same ones who had already, the high priest who had crucified Christ. In verse 1, the scripture says, tells us who they were before in Acts, the fourth chapter. It says, as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard of the Sadducees came upon them. Yeah. These same folk came upon them, the same ones, Caiaphas and all of these who had judged and who had crucified Christ. They stood before. But look, listen at their response. We got to move quickly. In verse 13, it says this. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus.
Hey! Come on now.
These men were not afraid of them.
Amen.
And because they were not afraid of men, it caused them to see God.
Amen.
Those who were threatening them, it caused them to see God.
Amen.
Caused them to remember that these men were connected.
Amen.
With the Christ, even Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Verse 14 says, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to go aside out of the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may not spread any further. Do you see what Satan wants? He wants to kill the things of God. He wants to stop the word of God from going. He wants that which brings life and liberty and health and wholeness. He wants that to stop. What saves souls and heals lives and marriages and families and generations. He wants to stop that. He doesn't want the word of God to go forth. And these men were operating under a satanic spirit. Watch this now. They said, but in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. Don't talk about Jesus. Huh? And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But look at Peter's nim response. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. I want to challenge every Christian today. May we always testify of the things of God. And may nothing hinder or stop our witness or our testimony to the glory of God. Because bad looks good when we reverence God and do not fear man. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen.